to your shade, bright's the dark, laying broken here at the park. I know you come a dark and the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, that should have only way that I've won. To shade, bright's the dark, laying broken here at the park. I know you come a dark and the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, that should have only way that I've won.
Sitting down with me today on Notably Texan is an interesting and unique entertainer who spent his early life up north before moving to Northeast Texas. His upbringing exposed him to various different kinds of tunes, which inspired the unusual blend of reggae, rock, and island sounds that form my guest's original music. He also kind of bucks the usual trend of playing an acoustic guitar in favor of its smaller lute variant, the ukulele. He recently produced one of his original songs here in Commerce with Brad Davis, which we'll listen to shortly. My guest today out of Sulphur Springs is Matthew Fayok. Thanks a lot for coming in, Matthew.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me here, Matt.
I'm really excited to talk to you, and not just because we share the first name. My name is Matthew also. I shortened it to Matt, but, you know, we talk to people who aren't named Matt, too, but that helps. You know, that gives you a good foot in the door around here. We initially met at the Commerce Songwriters Showcase, I think it was last year. Out of nowhere, I'd never heard of you. You showed up, and I really took note because I was blown away by your voice and your talent. And it is so cool to have someone who's kind of thinking outside the proverbial musical box right here in our own backyard. So explain to me, you grew up outside of Texas. Where else have you lived, man?
You know, a number of places. Well, one, Eugene, Oregon was really my hometown, home state. While all the hippies and the Rosses where they roam free and they play, you know, all that.
Yes.
And then we were there for my wife and I. We got married here in Texas, and she's actually from the Sulphur Springs area.
Okay.
Well, then we moved back to the Northwest, so Eugene area. We lived there for about a year and a half. And then we were up in Seattle for about 7 years. So from there, I tried making the whole industry with music and the ook, you know, it's kind of weird and all that. People were kind of like, oh, that's cute. And I'm going, I'm not cute. Thank you, though. So I just kind of moved on from that comment, kept trying to, you know, form my sound. Finally, I found from a few islanders that were a few people that I had known kind of throughout time growing up in the Northwest. They're like, man, you got to get away from this guitar thing. This thing has got to end. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? This is ukulele. This is a toy. This is the kid's toy. They're going, no, this is the man's. No, it's not. So after I started trying it, I fell in love with it. And
really?
Ever since then, I have not gone back, not even given a sigh. I have a couple guitars up in my office at the house, and they're hanging up on the wall. I just look at them going, oh, those are nice decorations.
Look at those giant ukuleles up there. Interesting. Okay. I also want to talk to you about this because the term finding your own voice is one of these things that's often overused. But my understanding is that you literally did just that. You dealt with some hearing loss in your early years. Is
yes.
that true?
Yes, sir.
That's fascinating to me, knowing that you are a performer now. So would you tell me about that?
Certainly, certainly. I was probably about the age of two, somewhere around there. And what happened was I had inner ear infections in both ears. And so what had happened was it took such root that it finally my eardrums exploded. And then from there, I would go to the doctor, you know, they put in tubes in my ears, and I was completely allergic to these tubes. So
oh, wow.
I had to start learning sign language. And then boom, I had eardrums back.
Wow.
So then from there, I had to start learning how to talk again. And my sister was trying to teach me how to talk. And you know, if you try to say something like couch, I would say couch. I couldn't say it.
Right.
And
right.
So it was real, real tough. I had to start forming sounds. I had to start learning how to communicate with the rest of the world around me. And so like during a church service, I would lay on the floor and feel the drum beat through the floor.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I just really started getting into it. Drums was actually one of the first things I'd really taken shape. And from there, I learned about the strings, my voice, and I was all, you know, feeling all good and all that.
Oh, yeah.
So from there, singing, songwriting.
Talk about something that would obviously give you a real appreciation, you know, for just the senses. I mean, as having
right.
been without it for a certain point. Just an amazing story, and I appreciate you opening up on that.
Yes, sir.
So as you mentioned, growing up outside of Texas, like in Oregon, for instance, you really got to hear that kind of diverse list of music, right?
I mean,
what kind of stuff were you being exposed to?
Yeah, another one of those communities. community was very, very eclectic. Okay. So there was a lot of hippies. So if you can imagine, you know, very much of the hippie sound. Then you had a lot of Rastafarians in the community, a lot of metalheads, a lot of pop, a lot of just very versatile. Well, really what it came down to was I always thought that the reggae was kind of like, oh, okay, that's all right. You know, I really was a big rock, like a metalhead, kind of a rocker. And so from there, I did all the different, you know, the long hair. And sure. People were like, you need to dreadlock your hair. No, I am too white. And they're like, okay, gotcha. All right. And so I finally chopped off my hair. I wanted to kind of venture away from a little bit more of the rock, kind of explore a little bit more. I found the Rastafarian culture is really, really cool, really beautiful people, really cool foods and music. I fell in love with the islands. And of course, from there with the ook, it just kind of matched. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to try this out ever since. I mean, I've not turned around.
Not everyone has the versatile and eclectic appreciation for music that you do. And obviously we appreciate that with the nature of what we do here on this show, because we get into all these different styles here on Notably Texan. So you fit right in. And you've been mentioning it, but your sonic weapon of choice is an instrument that is sometimes not taken very seriously just because of stereotypes, basically, you know what I mean? But in the right hands, it's just as versatile as its bigger stringed instrument brother, the guitar. So what drew you to, and I say ukulele, am I mispronouncing it, or I mean, are you...
Well, it's pronounced ukulele, and what the Hawaiians, what they actually explain is ukulele, because it was the only word they had to explain what the instrument was. So it was because your fingers are jumping around, they call it jumping flea.
Jumping flea,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, so we're jumping all around because your fingers, because everything's so small.
Generally, we hear it Americanized as ukulele, of right. course. I think so. I hope that you don't think that I sound ridiculous when I say that.
I know,
that.
It's fine.
But I'll let you say it right. I'll just say it the American way. So what drew you to that instrument in your hands is how I'm going to put it.
Really, I picked up the acoustic guitar, and I was okay with it. And a few people were like, hey, you wield that kind of well. Well, I'm thinking not so much, because when I would play, I would kind of get a little pop in my wrist, okay. You know, kind of like with that sort of a carpal tunnel kind of a feel. And I know a lot of string players, I get that, Matthew. I totally get that. So I'm sitting here, I'm like, man, I can't keep up with this guitar anymore. It's popping my wrist. It's hurting too much. I started playing the ook, easy. I don't have to worry about that pop anymore. I mean, I just hang out and I get this thing going, and now I have no problems. So that was one of the things. But another one was just I had so much fascination kind of growing up for it anyway.
Yeah.
And so from there, I just started playing, and I thought, well, this is kind of a joke, but I'm going to give it a shot. I stuck with it. And ever since then, I've been able to make kind of like a different thing out there that I guess sort of my own sound, I guess.
It really has, I mean, picked up in popularity over the past, say, 10 or 15 years. There are more and more artists that are using it, you know, seriously, and not just as to, you know, to play a little commercial jingle or something like that.
Or to entertain their kids.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you have this resounding positivity in your songs, and some of that, I know, just kind of comes with the reggae territory. I'm sure they exist, but I can't think of that many sad reggae songs. Even a sad reggae song has that groove that's like, oh, man, I'm feeling good, you know? But you know what I'm saying. But yes. But you really have that have this knack for spreading kind of good vibes with your songs, don't you?
Having the chance to get in studio with Brad Davis has really opened my eyes to a whole nother world of being able to make things even more so eclectic. You know, there's people that say, oh, I'm eclectic. Well, no, really, Brad has really brought in a whole, like from the college here, has really brought in a whole different variety of different folks that play maybe funk or rock or just different, you know, just different stuff. And it has really morphed my sound. It has actually encouraged me to try and go out on a limb. And as a matter of fact, the next few songs that we're going to be in the studio, he wants to actually try some stuff where it's like, what is that? We don't know what that is or that is. You know, it's okay. Not the typical stuff. So it's really blending some real different. Yeah. So it makes it real fun. And people are like, ooh, this is weird, but I like it. Okay, I can hang with this.
That's exciting. I know that's exciting for him. You know, producing music, you need things to shake things up a little bit. You know, have something different. And that's exciting for me as a DJ, too, because I love to play stuff that's outside the norm, especially when it's created right here in our own backyard. You really enjoyed working with Brad, didn't you?
Oh, man. I didn't realize there was such a level of creativity and professionalism and being able to have fun doing this. Because really, before I ever got into the studio, I had a lot of anxiety and fear because in the past I would try other producers and other recording studios. I just wasn't happy. And when I found when I started working with Brad Davis, now this guy obviously not only has like an understanding and is outside of the norm, but he pushes you to go further. And he even said I'll quote him. I look through your trash can, read your mail to know exactly who you are, and I pull out who you don't know who you are, basically. And I'm sitting here thinking, oh, I'm so scared to go through my trash can. Yeah. What is that going to expose?
Right.
So I just decided, you know what? What better way than throw myself underneath the bus and go ahead and make, you know, the sounds, you know, a whole lot more than what I've even ever dreamed.
I was really excited to hear what Brad was going to do with your music. Did an excellent job on this. Anything specific that you want to tell us about Flew Into a Shadow before I play it?
This song was meant for when you're going through a tough time. God's waiting for us to just kind of climb up underneath his wing and just rest, because there's a real season where people go through tough times and people need to just be understood and know that they're loved. And doesn't matter what they're going through, you know, get away from all the garbage and all the trash that people put on you. Just step away from it. There's a place of rest and of peace and of the power and the love, you know, that's there. And it's for every single person.
Climb up your wing, lie down today. So ask my lashes, make a weight on my rest. Pour out your cup, yeah. Lay down my back, lay down my back. Flew into a shadow, sleep away some doubt. Flew into a shadow.
Man, you have got just an incredible vocal range. I know that I'm not the first person to tell you that. We just heard you hit everything from the kind of low growly tones to those high register glass breakers on that tune. Were you formally trained as a vocalist, or did you just kind of find all that range on your own?
You know, for the very most part, I did. It was all found on my own. Wow. Just because of all the different varying styles that I really, really got into. But when I went through college, my vocal coach, she was classically training me. So even then, funny enough, I actually did some opera for a little while.
Okay. I believe that, honestly.
So I really did some real, when it's a collection, I really think. I mean, there's opera, there's reggae, hip hop, rock. How does that all fuse? But, you know, eventually a lot of that stuff, you know, aligned. And some of the stuff I kind of,
yeah,
you know, a little bit. So people are like, what, are you a reggae artist? That was weird.
I've always been somebody who's appreciated different stuff. And it's so refreshing to hear somebody taking risks like you're doing and kind of doing stuff that's so different. And again, your range is just amazing, man.
Thank you, Matt.
I'm really interested to hear, you know, like more from you on a full-length record, which I assume has got to be, you know, in your sights down the road somewhere.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Early next year, we'll have it knocking on the door for a couple more songs here pretty quick.
Awesome.
We're getting ready to lay down. So
nice.
Yes, yeah.
I initially wondered how on earth did you find your way to Sulphur Springs, you know, from Oregon and the other places that you live, but you have family basically from this area, so that's how you found your way here. But Sulphur Springs has this really vibrant downtown scene with a lot of hip stuff going on over there. But this is, of course, still rural Northeast Texas after all, so I'm curious, do you feel like you're kind of finding the support for your unique brand of music out here, or are you getting a lot of those people with the, wow, that's weird? I mean, are you finding a mixture of that?
Really is a mixture.
Okay.
Like I'll sit and I'll play like Somewhere Over the Rainbow, you know, of course, everyone that everybody knows, and they're like, oh, that's cool. Yeah. The ukulele totally makes sense. And I start playing, you know, some a little bit more of course, more my stuff. And they're like, I don't know how well you're going to do out here. Oh. I'm going, oh, okay. Thank you. That was very supportive. Well, but I kind of move on from that, but it really is like, I've been finding pockets of people that really want to do more of this. And Sulphur Springs, there's probably two or three big artists that I've started connecting with more and more, because they have, of course, a different thing going on. And also here in Commerce has been absolutely amazing, and so much talent here. So it's really been good. It's kind of been back and forth. So there's been also some pockets of people that are like, hey, you know what? I don't think you should do that. You should put your music down, go to work.
Well, well.
You know, do your thing. I'm like, I can't do that either. You know,
jeez.
So you know, it's back and forth. So I've been going to work and then doing this and really it's starting to teeter more and more into music and more people are going, yeah, you know, and people
good.
That spoke against the music are now like, you know what? Can I help you?
Yes. Some converts.
Yes,
very nice.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, there are going to be people always who are like, wait a second, that's neither country nor Western, so that can't possibly be music. So,
right.
So, no, I mean, I really appreciate what you're doing, and I hope you stick to your guns, man.
Yes, sir.
Public radio really is kind of the only place for anyone to discover a rising star like yourself who's making music outside the norm. I dare say that you believe a, you know, non-commercial station like KETR has got to be worth supporting by the community that listens to it, right?
Certainly. Oh my goodness. I've not only found so many talented people and intriguing, amazing people, and including yourself, that has really brought a community together, but it has also encouraged me to continue forward and believe in myself and what I can do to be able to make a big difference with music and loving people and seeing cool stuff happen in communities and being a part of a family of people that really want to make a big difference through entertainment. I love it. Absolutely. I can donate 89. Absolutely.
Awesome, man. Well, if you feel like my guest Matthew Fayok does, then you ought to go to KETR.org today and click donate and become a supporter and keep this avenue open that can introduce you to talented folks like Matthew Fayok. Where can they find you online before I let you back into the
Absolutely.
Wild today, man?
Absolutely. MatthewFayok.com. You could go to Reverb Nation, also on Instagram. And then, of course, I have two different working Facebook pages as well. And then I have a few videos on YouTube, and I'm continuing to build a whole bunch more. And there's a lot of stuff in the mix right now, and it's getting ready to start making some little bit of sunlight. So
okay.
We're going to start having some fun.
Nice, man.
Yeah.
Well, this really has been a treat for me, and I appreciate you coming over from Sulphur Springs today. Matthew Fayok, man, have a wonderful afternoon, and let's talk again when you got some more music to put out, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Matt, for having me here.
Blaze all night long, yeah. All night blaze all night long. So, darling, blaze all night long.